Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
We are currently under, in the state of Florida and in many states, under a lockdown where people are being told to stay at home. Don't go out unless you're working work for a company that the government determines is essential. Then you can leave your home and you can work. Mark Levin recently put out something that one of my friends reposted on Facebook that says, to be clear, President Trump hasn't shut down a single business. The governors did. We're seeing the most draconian measures enforced at all levels of government that we've ever seen in our lifetimes. And yet, rather than being alarmed by the things going on, so many of you applaud. People are being arrested for spending too much time outside, and you applaud. Pastors are being arrested for daring to hold church services, and you applaud. A child's birthday party is raided by police, and you applaud. A young woman is ticketed for going on a leisurely drive alone because it is deemed non-essential travel, and you applaud. A parade of school teachers and administrators who wanted to drive through neighborhoods and wave at children is busted up by cops because they were non-essential, and you applaud. A lone paddleboarder in the ocean on a beach without any other people around is arrested because he is violating quarantine orders, and you applaud. People are being denied life-saving medical treatments because they are not a priority right now, non-essential, as deemed by the government, as the entirety of our medical system is focusing on one thing, and you applaud. Businesses are being forcibly closed and padlocked and owners arrested for refusing to shut down, and you applaud. Dairy farmers and soon other farmers are being incentivized to stop dairy farming and to sell their herds, and you don't seem to understand the implications. You're being told to use hotlines and online forms provided by your local government to report your neighbors who don't obey, and you comply. You scold people day after day for not obeying government edicts. And if any of us dare to question what's happening, you lecture us about how we're a danger to society. And we just don't care about people dying. You've managed to convince yourself that people whose lives are affected by a virus are much more important than people whose lives are destroyed, and in many cases, leading to death by the effects of a worldwide economic shutdown and impending worldwide depression, the likes of which no one has ever seen before. At what point will you start questioning what is going on? How far does the government have to push before you're jolted awake from your slumber? How far are you willing to go with this? If they told you to load your family onto train cars so that you would be taken to virus protection facilities for your own safety, would you do it? Yes. Yes, you would. That much has become painfully obvious to me. The whole time, you'd be shaking your finger and yelling at those of us who refused, accusing us of being a danger to society and not caring if people die. But they don't have to load you onto train cars and take you to virus protection facilities or force you to comply because you do that voluntarily. They control your minds. They control you through fear. They control you by convincing you that the world is a scary, dangerous place. But they're here to protect you, care for you, and help you keep you safe, just as long as you obey. They know that as long as you're locked inside your comfortable home with Netflix, Hulu, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and a cell phone while dangling a $1,200 check in front of you like a carrot on a stick, you'll comply. No force is necessary for the majority of the herd. You are imprisoned willingly, and you're too blind to see it. And my friend Kitty Hadaway added, abortion clinics are still open and considered essential. Patrick Henry said this in his famous speech, if life so near or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery, forbid it, Almighty God. I know what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. Benjamin Franklin said this, those that can give up essential liberty to gain a little temporal safety deserve neither liberty nor safety. And Thomas Jefferson said, I prefer dangerous freedom over peaceable slavery. Our founding father said this in the Declaration of Independence, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. And it goes on, but notice that governments are ordered or are formed to protect your right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You may know that the original Declaration said property instead of pursuit of happiness, but that was removed because the states in the South didn't want slaves to have the right to own property. But still, that these principles of the Declaration were used to abolish slavery. We also last week read from the proclamation, Samuel Adams' proclamation for fasting, humiliation, and prayer. He said a similar phrase, that he would direct, talking about God, that he would direct the administration of our federal and state governments so that our lives, liberties, and property of all the citizens and the just rights of the people as men and citizens may be forever acknowledged and at all times defended by constitutions founded upon equal rights and by good and wholesome laws, wisely and judiciously administered and duly executed. We also know that in the Constitution, in the Bill of Rights, the Fifth Amendment, we read, no person shall be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. And the Florida Constitution, Article 1, Section 9, says this. This is the due process clause. No person shall be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, or be twice put in jeopardy for the same offense, or be compelled in a criminal matter as a witness against oneself. And we see this principle of liberty laid out by our founders. They claimed that this liberty came from God Almighty, that it was self-evident that God had given us this liberty, and that because it was self-evident that governments were to be instituted by men to protect that liberty. Yet we see today that governments being instituted, and the governments have been instituted to protect our liberty, but they are ordering people who are healthy, who aren't sick, to stay at home, to not go out. And the governments are determining what activities you can do, what activities you can't do. We read from the Mark Levin quote about some of those activities and some of the egregious actions that have been done. But we have seen even more. Just recently, a woman was arrested for allowing her child to play on a playground. This is a playground, we're told by medical scientists, that sunlight kills the coronavirus. Yet we can't have children playing on a playground in the open with sunlight. Tom Brady just recently was kicked out of a park where he was working out by himself. Why? Because the park was closed. A few weeks ago, I was running on a trail by myself and was stopped by a park ranger and told that I couldn't be there. Now, let me see. I'm getting exercise, which, by the way, helps boost your immune system, helps your body be stronger and fight off infection. I'm getting fresh air, which is good for your body and good for your health. And I'm getting sunshine. And there was no one else out there except for a park ranger who had to stop me and get with closer than 6 feet from me and tell me that I wasn't supposed to be there. So we ask a question here. Is liberty something that God has established and given each and every one of us? And if so, why are we allowing government to take our liberty from us? And also, we want to ask, how does God say that we should deal with someone who is sick? Or if there is a pandemic, if there is a infection that is going on in our culture, in our cities, in our states, in our nation, how should we deal with this? By the way, the Bible has the answers, and you need to be reading it. You need to be reading the Bible and seeing what God says about things, seeing what the Bible says, seeing how God's word applies to each and every situation. And God does speak to every situation that we deal with. Our founding fathers didn't just come up with this idea that God had given us liberty on their own. No, they actually looked and they saw that this came from the principles of Scripture, that we do have liberty here and that we are endowed by our Creator with liberty. Inscribed on the Liberty Bell is a portion of Leviticus chapter 25, verse 10. Proclaim liberty throughout all the land to its inhabitants. Very good friend of mine who has since passed away, Dr. Michael Hofstey, actually used LEV2510 as his email address for some time. Proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all its inhabitants. You know that this was written to the Jewish people who had been slaves in Egypt, and God set them free. We're not to, God proclaimed liberty. We read this morning in our opening passage from Psalm 119, verse 45, I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. So when we seek God's precepts, when we align our lives with God's word, God gives us liberty. In Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1, we read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has appointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound." You may recall that Jesus actually, when his ministry was beginning, went into the temple. They handed him the scroll, and that day was the day where they were reading from Isaiah chapter 61. And Jesus stood up and read this passage and said, "Today, this passage is fulfilled in your midst." Jesus came to establish liberty, to proclaim liberty to the captives. And in a sermon entitled "The Duty of Standing Fast in Our Spiritual and Temporal Liberties" by Pastor Jacob Duché, preached in America, July 7th, 1775, he read from Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, that says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage." And then later in verse 13 of that same chapter, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." So we are to stand fast, therefore, in liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Are you willing to do this, to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty which Christ has made you free, and to fight for that liberty that our founding fathers awarded to us and gave us by risking, pledging their lives, their fortunes, their sacred honor, so that these rights to life, liberty, and property, the pursuit of happiness, would be secured so that they could establish a government which would defend those rights of liberty. You might say, "Well, yes, that's all fine and dandy, but the coronavirus is here. COVID-19, haven't you heard? If we don't stay in our houses, we are going to all die." In fact, Governor Cuomo, just in one of his press briefings just recently, said that the coronavirus, the consequences of the coronavirus, is death. By the way, there's new studies coming out, and Governor Cuomo even announced this. There's new studies coming out that actually show they've actually tested people randomly at grocery stores and so on and so forth, testing them for antibodies to see whether they have the coronavirus or not, or had the coronavirus or not. And of those tested, 20%, that's 1 in 5 people from New York City, actually tested that they had been previously infected with the coronavirus. If those figures hold true for the entire city, the coronavirus is actually less deadly than the flu. Also, there's two studies done from cities in California that show that the infection rate could be more than 50 times higher than what was previously thought, which would put the infected rate, the death rate, at a much lower level. Because again, if you have way more people that are infected and the same number of people that have died, we all know how many people have died. We just don't know. And by the way, they're inflating the number of deaths. If you have a heart, If you have a heart attack and you die of a heart attack, but you had the coronavirus, they're classifying that as a coronavirus death. There was even one man that works at a coroner's office that said they were classifying people that had committed suicide if they had the coronavirus. They were classifying that as a coronavirus death. Very, very, definitely not honest. And so the death toll is actually being inflated, but now if even with those inflated numbers, and by the way, we're not the only ones that have inflated this. Italy did this, other countries did this, and we have other nations like China that probably underreported. But here what we see, if the number of infected people goes up and we know how many people died, or at least how many people are reported to have died from the coronavirus, well, then that means that the coronavirus is less deadly than previously thought and is much less deadly than even the flu, which happens every single year. Now let's turn to Leviticus chapter 13. And we'll see what God says should happen when someone is sick, when you're dealing with something that, by the way, can cause death. What should the response be? In Leviticus chapter 13, verse 1, and the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, when a man has on his skin of his body a swelling, a scab, and a bright spot, and it becomes on the skin of his body like a leprous sore, then he shall be brought to Aaron the priest, or to one of his sons the priest. The priest shall examine the sore on the skin of his body, and if the hair of the sore has turned white, and the sore appears to be deeper than the skin of his body, it is a leprous sore. Then the priest shall examine him and pronounce him unclean. But if the bright spot is white on the skin of his body and does not appear to be deeper than the skin, and its hair has not turned white, then the priest shall isolate the one who has the sore 7 days. And the priest shall examine him on the seventh day. And indeed, if the sore appears to be as it was, the sore has not spread on the skin, then the priest shall isolate him another 7 days. Then the priest shall examine him again on the seventh day, and indeed if the sore has faded and the sore has not spread on the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him clean. It is only a scab, and he shall wash his clothes and be clean. But if the scab should at all spread over the skin after he has been seen by the priest for his cleansing, he shall be seen by the priest again. And if the priest sees that the scab has indeed spread on the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is leprosy. So you see here that there was a way of dealing with a disease that can lead to death. And that was not just putting the entire population on quarantine because they might catch leprosy. No, it was to examine the person who actually might have leprosy. Not to just put that person in quarantine, but there was a due process and the person was actually examined. And if it was unsure, he was isolated for 7 days and then brought back and possibly isolated for another 7 days. And we can actually look later on in this chapter, and in verse 45, it says, now the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn and his hair bare, is his head bare, and he shall cover his mustache and cry, unclean, unclean. He shall be unclean all the days he has the sore, he shall be unclean. He is unclean, and he shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. So we see here a quarantining of the person that was sick, not quarantining the entire society. Now, the government can give recommendations, and they can say, hey, you should probably stay away from other people. The government can say people of a certain age, and we know that the coronavirus, people that are older are much more susceptible. I've been shopping for my parents. I'm going to continue to do that. We're going to, you know, we're trying to keep them from going out any more than they absolutely have to. That's wise. But to say that everyone that is healthy should stay at home is a violation of the principles of Scripture and a violation of our liberty. It is time that we start having the same resolve that our founding fathers had, that we are willing to fight for liberty, that we are willing to stand fast, to stand firm, and to fight for liberty, and to apply biblical principles to our society, including principles of quarantine. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power both now and forever. Amen.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.